next guest on Downtown is a singer, actor, talk show host, game show host. You know him from years of making music. His roles on Broadway, Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Beauty and the Beast, the film Disney's Mulan, Dancing with the Stars, The Masked Singer. These days, he's got a smash show playing at Harrah's in Vegas and is getting ready to embark on a summer tour that will bring him here to New England in July. We are pleased to be joined on Downtown by Donny Osmond.
Rich.
Hey there, Donny.
By the way, I got to tell you, Richard Kimball, I love that name. It's one of my favorite movies of all time, The Fugitive.
Not a year goes by when I'm not going through an airport somewhere and a guy says, "Oh, Richard Kimball, like that." And yep, my wife is fine, but I caught the one-armed man.
You probably hear that all the time. So I just had to say it because it is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I never get tired of it. We used to have the late Eddie Money used to come on our show quite a bit, and he just gave up on Rich. It was Fugitive. How you doing?
That's awesome.
I love it. Well, it's so great to talk with you. We've been trying to get you on the show for a long time. I'm glad we were able to finally connect. You're a busy guy.
It is. You know, I thought, you know, in my 60s, I'm going to slow down a little bit. I've never worked harder in my life.
Well, yeah, you've got a summer tour coming up. It begins July 18th in Watertown, Connecticut, and then another New England date, the 19th in Beverly, Mass. Now, is this a version of the show that you did at Harrah's?
This is our show. I'm bringing Las Vegas to you guys.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, because, you know, not everybody gets to go to Las Vegas. And so we bring Vegas to you, and I'm bringing all the dancers, the band, the effects, the video, the whole show. And it's going to be a wild party. Last night was our reopening night, and it was absolutely crazy. In fact, I'm going to post about it here in a little while, show some video of it.
I love the fact that in this show, you really wanted to encapsulate your entire career. And so you feature music from all 65 of your albums, and it's, it's an audience choice, right?
Yeah, that is correct. I call it the request segment. It took me a long time to figure out how to do this and make it work technically. And we have the technology now that we can do that, but I started thinking when I put the show together, which album do I highlight? Yes, obviously, I want to play some stuff from the current 65th album, but what about all those other songs, the popular, the Go Away Little Girls, and you know, One Bad Apple, all that kind of stuff that people want to hear because they want to hear the hits. So I put every album in there, and it's about a 15. I'll probably expand it to maybe 20-minute segment when I'm out on the road, but all the albums are on the screen. Anyone can pick any album, any song from any album, and we do it just like that. And it's fun for us because the show changes every night.
I want to talk a little bit about the most recent album, number 65, Start Again. You wrote or co-wrote every song on the album. And man, it's terrific. A great groove on You Need Someone. Don't Stop is fabulous. I love the song you did with Charlie Wilson.
I tell you, singing a duet with Charlie Wilson was a dream come true. I've always loved it. Especially, you know, after You Dropped the Ball on Me. I love that song back when it came out. And when you listen to that song, at the very, very end, you're going to hear him sing, "Cause you're turning me on." I said, "You got to sing that line on this song." Yeah, I was in heaven producing him on this on the vocals.
Oh, I'll bet.
He put that line in there.
And the title cut, Start Again, man, that one just blew me away. Keep your head up, keep your heart strong, and just remember you're not on your own. That sure sounds to me like the voice of experience.
Yeah, it is voice of experience. You know, it almost didn't make the album. I wrote over 40 songs for this record. It took me about 3.5 years to make this record. And so it was a very difficult process to narrow it down to the 12 songs that I have on the album. And Start Again didn't make the cut. And then I went back, as just you just did, reread the lyrics, and I said, this has to be on the album. And not only was it on the album, it became the title track.
Well, it's absolutely terrific. Now going out on the road, that's work for anybody. But I read an interview where I think you said that your priorities have changed a little bit. It's now, number one, will it work for your wife, Debbie? Will it work for your children? Will it work for your grandchildren? And then you come about fourth on the list.
I do. That's my MO in all my decisions that I make. This tour, yeah, it's going to be a lot of work, but we're going to have a lot of family parties prior to me coming out on tour for these 3 weeks. But I just thought, and Debbie's going to join me for some of the tour. So, but this is what I do. You know, this is what show business is all about. You can't just be isolated in one particular area all the time. You got to get out on the road and you got to perform. That's the life of an entertainer. And I enjoy it. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's time consuming. And yes, it's laborious and arduous at times. But when you get on stage, especially with this show, Rich, it's everything I've done in six decades of show business in a 90-minute show. And there's a segment that I do. It's called the rap segment. And yes, for those listening right now, I do a rap.
I saw a clip of you doing the rap, and
okay.
Wow, that is intense.
It's more than intense. It's 10 minutes of just nothing but firing off everything I've done, and everything I talk about you see visually as well. And it's so much fun for me because I watch the audience, and you see the faces like, oh, I remember that, and oh, I totally forgot about that. And you remind people of the amount of things that I've done over decades of show business, starting on the Andy Williams Show at 5 years old to the current things that I'm doing right now, and everything in between.
Well, I want to talk about those early days in a little bit, but before that, speaking of Debbie, a big day. I think it's next Monday, your 45th anniversary?
It's next week. Next week is 45 years we've been married. And it's been a wonderful journey. I found a wonderful woman to share my life with.
Now, were there people close to you, because you were a young guy when you got married? Were there people who said, yeah, but don't do that quite yet. Don't do it now. It might impact your career. All those screaming girls.
Oh, it did. It completely impacted my career. My career went into the toilet, as they say, after I got married, because I was not that eligible bachelor anymore. But you know what? There comes a time in life where you have to do what you want to do as an individual, and I needed somebody in my life at that point in time. And it's like, you know, I was 20 when I got married. She was 19, and everybody thinks, well, you guys are so young. But consider the fact that I was a professional in show business at 5, the amount of responsibility I had on my shoulders throughout my teens. So I was ready. It's probably not ready. You know, some people may not be ready at that age, but we certainly were. And I remember right after we got married, we opened up in Las Vegas at the Hilton Hotel. And this is the day after we got married, we opened that, right? That's my honeymoon of all places. And so during rehearsals that day before opening night, the stagehand had the audacity to walk up to me in a joking way. He said, so you just got married? And I said, yep. He says, I gave that 6 months.
Oh, gee.
And it was like, oh, my goodness. So we're the ones laughing now, not him.
Yeah, 45 years. That's the test of time. It certainly stood that. We're talking with Donny Osmond on Downtown. Well, let's go back. Now, I think you were, 3 years old when you packed up, left Ogden, Utah for L.A., left behind your home, your buddy Scott Bramwell, and started a new life.
Boy, you've done your research, haven't you? Yes, that's when my life changed. At 3 years old, I left that little sandbox. In fact, that moment, you actually see a video of me in that sandbox in the rap. It says, I love my sandbox, but I like the beach, and I practice at home while my brothers cut their teeth as a barbershop course. You see, here I'm going into the rap. But it's one of the so many moments in that rap. But yes, my life changed at 3. Moved from Ogden, Utah with my family to Los Angeles, the entertainment capital of the world. And we started our show business career.
And boy, it just
never looked back.
No, and it blew up. You and I are the same age. That made it tough. You know, you're tough to compete with, Donnie. I'm going to tell you, it was not easy being a 13-year-old guy, you know, being awkward and goofy. And there you are hitting the top of the charts with Sweet and Innocent and Go Away, Little Girl and Puppy Love. Was that level of fame, though, was it ever scary for you as a young guy? And you'd been around it for a decade by that point, but it still had to be a bit intimidating.
You use the word scary. I wouldn't use the word scary. It was so cool to go through all of that, of those dynamics of screaming girls, hit records, traveling the world. It was a roller coaster ride like you can't believe. But as I've mentioned in the past, my life is an open book. That lasts for only so long. And then that kind of a career, that teeny bopper career, comes to a screeching halt, 100 miles an hour down to zero overnight. And that was the time I had to start recreating myself. And so, went to the Donnie Marie Show, became a television personality. And then when the Donnie Marie Show ended, I mean, it dried up like crazy for 9 years in the 80s. I tried to reinvent myself. And then Soldier of Love came out in 1989. The industry called it the comeback of the 80s. And I had worked so hard to get back on the charts. Soldier hit, Sacred Emotion hit. And then I make a weird turn. I go into theater. And everybody said, Donnie, you're crazy. You've worked so hard to get on the charts. But it's all about reinvention, Rich.
Yeah, and it was not just convincing the audience that you were different, but the industry itself, right?
You're absolutely right. There's two very important entities to convince. The public, as you say, but the industry is a whole other animal in and of itself. And I had so many supporters, closet performers, I'll use that term. They said, oh, we love your voice. But in public, they were embarrassed to say they support Donny Osmond. It happened on radio, and you went through it. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because when Soldier of Love came out, everybody was just a little afraid to say, we're playing Donny Osmond music, because it just wasn't cool at that time. So back in 1983, when Thriller was just about to come out, I said, Michael, how do we get back out on the charts? He told me something that offended me to no end. He said, Donny, your name's Poison. You got to change your name. I thought, that's an insult. But here's what happened. Michael Jackson was right. He knew exactly what was going to happen and should happen. And Soldier of Love became a hit in 1989 without my name. And I was a mystery artist. And that's what made the record work. Everybody loved the music. Then they found out it was me. And then, like I said, everybody said, it's now working for you, Donnie. You got your recording career back. You're at the top of the charts. And I decided to go do theater with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And signed a 6-month deal. It ended up being 6 years, and I finally said, I got to get rid of this loincloth and reinvent myself again. I'm giving you a taste of what this show is all about, because it's just one thing after another. And even I even say this in the show. So many different generations of people know me for different things. For instance, Mulan.
Right.
A lot of people are surprised to find out that I'm Captain Shane in the Disney movie Mulan. We turned the theater into a Mulan experience. We have the film, we got Disney's permission to do all of this, and we do the stick fight dancing just like Captain Shang behind me on the huge screen. And some people know me from The Masked Singer. Little kids know me as the Peacock. some people know me only from Joseph. And some people know me from Dancing with the Stars. I mean, it's just so interesting to do this show from my perspective, let alone the audience's perspective.
Well, it's been incredible, the stretch of productivity you've had, really going back to the late 80s. Do you mind, can we go back a bit? Because I love the story, and I've heard you tell it before, of when you found out about Soldier of Love. Was it Christmas of 88 when your manager said, hey, New York City is going crazy for your song?
That's exactly what happened. I was over in the UK. I'd released about 4 or 5 singles on Virgin Records. Peter Gabriel was helping me out, and Richard Branson signed me to Virgin, and with a little coercion from Peter Gabriel. And so he did him a favor, signed me. Nothing worked. Soldier of Love got up to, I think, 31 on the charts over there and fell off. So I came back to the U.S., Rich, Christmas of 1988, thinking, I've got to find another line of work, because show business is not working. Even with Peter Gabriel's help, nothing is working. So you can only imagine how depressed I was. because really show business is all I know. So my manager at the time calls me, and it's just maybe a week or two before Christmas of 88. He said, I got some good news and some bad news. I said, I don't even want any bad news. Just please give me some good news. He said, you have the number one requested record in the number one market in the United States. I said, what? What could be bad? He said, nobody knows it's you. And I immediately thought about Michael Jackson's comment to me, and I thought, this is brilliant. I've got a hit record, and nobody knows it's me, so marketing-wise, it's fantastic. So it was PLJ in New York, and they flew me in, and, you know, the radio business, they built it up like crazy, and we're going to disclose who this mystery artist is. It was Friday, I believe, drive time. And I was kind of afraid to announce my name because I didn't want to kill the request. But back in those days, you remember the phones we had that lit up, the buttons that you hit, and all the blinking lights? So big drum roll, mystery artist, who are you? And I said, I'm Donny Osmond. Rich, those lines lit up like crazy. And radio stations all over the country wanted to do the same promotion. So I was flying all over the place, doing P1, P2, P3 market. And that's how Soldier Blues came back and put me back on the chart.
Absolutely. Well, but that's nothing if you don't have a follow-up and you came back with another strong release with Sacred Emotion that got you back in the top 10 again.
Well, that became one of the top videos on VH1. But it was a completely different genre of music than Soldier Blues, which, you know, a lot of artists make that mistake. They release the same type of thing that they had just released. They have a hit record. They say, well, there's the formula. Let's go for it. Let's do it again. No. You don't do that. You keep reinventing. You keep coming out with something new, something the public doesn't expect. When they expect the right turn, I give them a left. And that's the secret. And that's what you see in the show. It's like, wow, he did this. And then, boom, he did that. And then, boom, he did that. All these different genres of not just music, but of different styles and different mediums of Broadway, television, radio. I mean, you name it. Not to be a jack of all trades, but to master each one of them.
Well, you have worked so hard for this career. You've sacrificed. You've battled back through what you've called the lost years. Does this success that you're having now, does it feel different because you're doing it completely on your terms?
Boy, you really hit the nail on the head there. Yes, absolutely. But launching this show in Las Vegas at this point in time was a very risky thing. Here's why. And I guess as I look back in my career, I love to do risky things. But you're coming off, put your feet in my shoes here for a second. You're coming off an amazingly successful run with your sister at the Flamingo for 11 years. It was the top-rated show. So now I decide to come back and do it on my own. How's that going to work? So I surrounded myself with the best people in the business. The band I have, unbelievable. The dancers, wait till you see these dancers. The production team is second to none. Raj Kapoor, who's like the most sought-after director and producer in Los Angeles, he helped me put this thing together. And the lighting guy, he's the top in the business. Tom Sutherland, he's just amazing. So, but that's still, there's still no guarantee. I threw millions of dollars at this show for the effects and the sounds, the lighting, the visuals, and the video. And you just hope it works. And you just put your heart and soul into every single show. And it's working. In fact, we just got, if you can believe this, the award for best production in Las Vegas. You know what that means? You know how many shows here in Las Vegas with amazing production? And we got the award for best production. Best headliner, best singer, best new show. I'm sounding very egotistical. I apologize for that. But I'm so proud of this show.
Well, and from what I hear, you should be. I was talking to a friend who said, I saw Donnie's show, and it was amazing as he blew the doors off the place.
Well, that's what I'm hoping people think. I mean, last night, on reopening, I see a lot of people out there saying, well, I've heard the reputation of this show. It's kind of like, all right, show me, prove it, kind of an attitude. And I love it because I know what they're going to witness for the next 90 minutes. And by the time the show is over, the place is going crazy. It's just probably one of my favorite shows I've ever done in 6 decades.
Well, you'll have a chance to see it yourself. The summer tour comes to New England July 18th, Watertown, Connecticut, July 19th in Beverly, Mass. You can check out the whole tour and more information at the easiest website in the world to find, Donnie.com. Donnie, it's been wonderful to talk with you today. Happy anniversary and good luck with the show at Harrah's and out on tour this summer.
Thank you, Fugitive.
That's awesome. See you, Donnie.
Bye.
Donnie Osmond with us here on Downtown. I said Watertown, Waterbury, Connecticut. Waterbury, Connecticut, when you can check him out there. But it's going to be great. What a lot of fun that was. What a good guy.